1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Can you get this mic on for me? There we go. All right, thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, of course, the Apostle Paul writing to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy. Well, let's look at three verses, verses 18 through 20, as we look into God's Word this evening. I charge thee, verse 18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Notice that little phrase. Have made shipwreck. In other words, made shipwreck of what? Made shipwreck of their faith. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexandra, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You know, as God directed the Apostle Paul to write to Timothy, I believe, and I know you believe the same, that every word that God directed Paul was inspired absolutely of God. The very phraseology, every word itself has significance and meaning. And I believe this is very true with what Paul is saying here to this young preacher boy. You know, a lot of the Bible is filled with warnings. And I believe that most pastors, in preaching to their congregation, find it necessary to warn the congregation periodically, especially in which the day in which we live, a very troubled day. So many things out there, they would try to pull us away from our faith. And Paul is warning this young preacher boy to be careful, to guard his life, because Satan wants to make shipwreck out of his life, out from his faith, to absolutely try to destroy his faith. And that's happened to a lot of young people in this day and age. Oftentimes a young person, perhaps very faithful in church, all through grade school and all through high school, and they go away to college, and they sit in some liberal professor's classroom, and that professor will just absolutely bombard his students with liberal mentality. So much of it is absolutely anti-God and anti-Christ. And many a young person has had their faith stripped from them and have their faith to be shipwrecked, if you will, to never be what God would have that young person to be. And if truth is this, folks, if Satan would have his way, he would make shipwreck out of every one of us who are here this evening. He wants to make shipwreck of every Christian, that our testimonies would be neutralized, that our service for Christ would be stopped. And it's an interesting word that God put on the Apostle Paul's heart. This word, shipwreck. He could have used other words, I'm sure. He could have said, oh, your faith could be destroyed. Your faith could be hindered. But for some reason, God told Paul, in writing to young Timothy, as part of this warning process, to warn him about not making shipwreck of his faith. I got to thinking about that. and thinking, of course, that there's no accidents with God. And God had that put in there for a reason. And I really believe, and as I thought about this and as I agonized over this, and it caused me then to go to a library, a public library. And I did a little research on shipwrecks. And as I went through book after book, and the whole subject in every book was shipwrecks. And then as I looked at the different causes of shipwrecks, I put them in, and I noticed they kind of lined themselves up in about five different categories. And thinking about these five categories, and thinking about this particular scripture, why God told Paul to enter the word shipwreck in here, it makes perfect sense now. In analyzing this whole process of warnings that God oftentimes gives us as His people. And tonight this message is a message of warning to the young and to the old alike. Young Timothy was indeed a young man. I'm not sure how old the Apostle Paul was at this time. I don't know. But whether you be a Timothy or be a Paul, or younger than Timothy or older than Paul, whoever we might be in our age groups, whoever we might be in our faith, whoever we might be in our Christianity, there's one thing sure, that Satan wants to make shipwreck out of our lives, the young and the old. And since that's the case, I like for us to think about the different shipwrecks that oftentimes happen in the lives of believers. And oftentimes when this shipwreck hits a believer, so many of them are never able to overcome the shipwreck. And it seems like from that particular time on, they're never ever what they used to be in their Christian walk. Because their spiritual ship has been wrecked. And it seems like they can never overcome what's happened in their life. And I'm saying this, folks, tonight just as a form of warning to all of us, including myself, that we need to take heed. Our faith is the most precious commodity we have in our life. For by grace are we saved through what? Faith. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. So this thing of faith is so imperative to us from our salvation to the way we live day after day. Now, Satan wants to make shipwreck of the most precious commodity we have in our life, and that's our faith. And truly, for a believer, everything that we do should be done by what? Faith. And if Satan can make shipwreck of our faith, he's well on his way to destroying our lives as Christians, our testimony as believers. So Satan aims and tries to do his best to destroy or make shipwreck of our faith. Now, having looked and studying these many shipwrecks, and I looked at hundreds of them and categorized them, I found there's about five different reasons why there's actual physical shipwrecks. And I want us to relate them to possible spiritual shipwrecks that could take place in our lives. Number one, many shipwrecks are caused simply because of getting off course, or careless, or just plain get off course. Just a lot of times, remember back, oh, I forgot when it was, several years ago, this big oil tanker, Valdez up in Alaska, got all out of the channel and ran aground and ran into some huge boulders and gashed the side of the tanker, and hundreds of thousands and millions of barrels of oil was spilled into that area. And great damage was done. Tremendous amount of damage was done. What had happened, they just plain got off course. And caught, when getting out of the channel then, and off course, slammed into the rocks causing this shipwreck of this great tanker, the Valdez. Now, here's the point. Satan wants to get us off course. And by the way, every one of us has got a course that God has got in mind for us to follow. God wants us to take our faith and take that faith that God has given us and look to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of that faith, and allowing the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the Word of God to lead us on our spiritual path. Amen? But Satan wants us to be shipwrecked. And if he can get us off course and get our eyes off of Jesus, turn a deaf ear to preaching, neglect the Word of God, don't listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, inevitably what's going to happen in our lives, we're going to get off course, and sure enough, mark it down, we're going to slam into a serious problem. And many a lives has been shipwrecked simply because a person has got off course in their life. Great damage was done when the Valdez slammed into those rocks. But nothing to compare to the damage that can happen to a life of a believer when they get off course in their life. And I have seen it happen too many times. People totally get off course. I've seen it happen. I remember, again, one young man right now I'm thinking about right now who I used to pastor. His name was David. He got saved under our ministry. His wife got saved. They became very faithful in our church. He began to live by faith. And he was doing great. He'd come Sunday morning, the whole family come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, go out soul winning with me. Oftentimes, we'd go on a trip, and I'd be a guest preacher someplace, and he said, "Preacher, I'd like to go and drive you." Oh, I said, "Great, that'd be great." I mean, we spent some time together. We became rather close. He was a blessing to our church, to me personally, to my family. He was just a man who had his course now fixed. Then I began to see something in his life, and he began to change. He started missing first Wednesday night. No, first off, he stopped going soul winning visitation on Thursday nights. Then he began to miss on Wednesday nights. Then he began to miss on Sunday nights. Then become hit and miss on Sunday morning. I go to his place of business to talk to him, and he'd be filled with excuses. He got his eyes off of Jesus. He's all, many times in our discussions, we talk about the Word of God, what a blessing it was, and he began to stop reading his Bible. He was no longer attending church. He totally got off course. And to make a long, long story very short, what finally happened to David, he was a successful businessman. He began to chase the dollar. He dealt in the car business. He would sell cars to overseas countries, or, you know, different countries. And he had connections where he'd send several hundred cars by ship and made good money off each car. Used cars he'd sell overseas. And when I would talk to him and I would go visit him, trying to encourage him to get back, he said, "Preacher, I know I should be back in church," but all he would offer me was all these business reasons why he couldn't be in church. Bottom line, what happened? He told me this himself later on, after his life was destroyed. He said, "I was burning the candle at the both ends. I needed to stay awake and work almost 24 hours a day. Because I had my business here in the States, and I had all shipping these cars all over the world." He said, I just was talking to people on the phone around the clock. I got so busy chasing the dollar. He said, and I wanted to stay awake 24 hours, so someone told me if I would do cocaine, it helped me to stay awake and keep my mind fresh. He started doing cocaine. Then as his money began to go to pay for his habit, he got into doing smoking. crack cocaine. And anyone who's ever been hooked on crack is one of the most devastating drugs that you can ever possibly imagine. You can be absolutely consumed by it, and it consumed him and destroyed him. He lost his business, he lost his house, he lost all his cars, he lost his wife, he lost his two children. He lost almost everything he had. And I remember the day that he got out of jail. He got caught with drugs, got out of jail, came to my office, and the entire worldly possessions that David had was two brown grocery bags with his clothes stuffed in it, and then a hanger with a sport jacket and a pair of pants and a shirt. That's all he had. And the man was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars and had beautiful home, beautiful cars, boats, everything. But he got off course. Not only lose his faith, but he lost everything else. And folks, we got to guard our lives because Satan wants us to get off course just as much as he did David. So if we get off course, it causes a shipwreck. We'll go aground. We'll run aground. And let's mess our lives up. But then the second reason I saw is just plain carelessness. Many shipwrecks are just because someone's very careless. The captain of the boat becomes very careless. You know, I read about the Titanic, and the captain of the Titanic was Edward Smith. You know, he had 5 different warnings about icebergs. He said 5 different times he was warned there were icebergs in the area that they were traveling. But he was careless. Now, he was on board on his maiden voyage of the Titanic, which was the unsinkable ship. So I think he was somewhat cocky and self-assured. That I'm a great captain. I've piloted many a great ship. So this is the finest of them all. And they selected me. And it caused him to become just plain careless. And as the hull of that great ship slammed into a submerged iceberg, it tore a hole through the side of it. Water poured in and down went the great Titanic, the unsinkable Titanic. He was just plain careless. There was something happened back a few years ago in England. A captain of a ferry, hundreds of people on board, a lot of cars on board this ferry. And they got the cars on board, and people got on board, and he went across the English Channel. All of a sudden, about halfway across the channel, the boat began to sink. And down it went. And hundreds died. Hundreds died. What happened? They forgot to close the door. Forgot to close the cargo door. And as they got going, the water began to pour in and sunk the ship. Carelessness. We have to be careful about the way we conduct our lives. There are so many Christians who are so careless about the way they live their lives. They're careless about who they run with, what they watch, where they go, what they say, what they do. Sometimes, and the preacher, you've seen it yourself, sometimes you've been around other believers and you can just see the carelessness in their life and some of the things they say. I mean, my soul, you think, why are they saying that? Or some things they do, or their attitudes. I mean, just plain careless. And a careless living, folks, will always, 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 ultimately end up in a shipwreck life. That is especially true amongst young people. I have a grandson. He's 20 years old now, and I think I mentioned to him last year. His name is Tyler. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 16, 4 years ago. And that's a serious condition. Heart disease is number 1 killer. Cancer is number 2 killer. Diabetes is number 3 killer. He has a chronic illness. He's a diabetic, a serious diabetic, insulin dependent. But he's 20 years old. And he thinks himself to be indestructible. And he's so flippant about taking his insulin. A diabetic's supposed to check their insulin at least, their blood sugar at least four times a day. My grandson will check his blood sugar about once every 3 months. Supposed to check it regularly every day. I'm on him all the time about it. Oh, yeah, Grandpa. But he's indestructible, see. He's living careless. And the careless living ultimately will really be destructive to you, and that is so true in a spiritual realm. So true. And so many young people have been destroyed by careless living. And a young person like Timothy, was a young man, if he started living his life carelessly, and Paul was warning him, don't do that. Don't make shipwreck of your faith by your careless living. And in true, young people are prone to be careless. So running aground, getting off course, caused many a ship to wreck. Careless decisions, flippantly living and going your way, will cause many a shipwreck life. Then number three, another reason for shipwrecks is collisions. Many a collision has taken place, and thousands of ships have been sunk just because the captains of those ships weren't doing their job. And for whatever reason, it could be the fault of both pilots in both ships, or just one pilot in one ship just making a bad choice, not paying attention to his job, slams into another ship. They collide and both ships go down. That happened in Tampa Bay, 1979. We had just moved to Florida. And a Coast Guard cutter by the name of the Blackthorn was in the Tampa Bay in the channel along with a tanker by name of Capricorn. And the Capricorn and the Blackthorn, and the Capricorn, the tanker, was a gigantic vessel. Hundreds of, 1,200 feet long, huge vessel. And the Blackthorn was a Coast Guard cutter, perhaps 65 feet long. And for whatever reason, and they've investigated, and they found both captains at fault. The Coast Guard cutter captain was at fault, and so was a captain of the tanker. For whatever reason, bam, they had a collision. Well, that Blackthorn was no match for that tanker. It just crumbled and sank into Tampa Bay. And 23 young Coast Guardsmen died that night because of a collision. Now, hear me now. There are times we're going to have collisions with other people. Oh, not in our cars, but in our life. I'm thinking right now of a story in the Word of God where Paul and Barnabas had a collision. You might remember the story where they had their first missionary journey, and they gave the report, it's time to go again, and they were discussing going again, and so and Paul says, okay, let's go, and Barnabas says, okay, let's get John Mark, my nephew, to go with us again. Paul says, no. He went the first time, and he didn't stay, so we can't trust him. So we're going to go just the two of us. And Barnabas says, no, I think he's learned his lesson. I think he'll be just fine this time. I want John Mark to go with us. And Paul says, no, I don't think he's proved himself yet to be worthy of this mighty task. So, no. And so the Bible finally says that the contention was strong between the two. And Paul and Barnabas collided. I mean, their mentality was, the whole way they're thinking about the situation, the way they looked at the whole thing, was totally different. And so they got into an argument, and the contention was strong. That means they must have gotten mad and raised their voices. And I can see Paul saying, now Barnabas, we can't trust John Mark. He's never proved himself trustworthy, and we're not going to do it. And I can see Barnabas said, no, wait a minute, Paul. I know the boy. He learned his lesson. I've talked to him. We can trust him. Now, just because he's your nephew is not going to give him the license to go with us. I'm sorry. He's not going to go. No, wait a minute. Who made you boss? And I can see Paul and Barnabas having a collision. Now, it didn't sink their ship. They did not have a shipwreck. It could have. Barnabas could have said, well, I've tried to serve the Lord. I've tried to be the very best Christian I know how to be. And I went faithfully with you, and we set up a lot of churches, got a lot of people saved. And that's your attitude, big boy? Well, that's it. I'm done with you and with Christianity too. Bye-bye, buddy. That could have been Barnabas' attitude. But no. Barnabas took his nephew, John Mark, and they departed and went on a second missionary journey. Paul chose Silas. He had a wreck with Barnabas, but he did not allow it to sink his ship. He had a shipwreck. They had a collision, but it didn't sink his ship. Paul went on and did great work, as we all know, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, here's the point. There are going to be times in our life, and sometimes maybe in your church life with your fellow believers here, that you're not going to see eye to eye. And you're going to collide with a believer in church. And it might be the pastor. It might be. You may say, preacher, I think we ought to do so and so. And the preacher said, no, I don't think so. I don't think that'll work. But preacher, I'm sure that'll work. Look, other churches do it all the time. Why can't we do it here? Preacher said, well, look, our church is not like other churches. We're different, and I don't think God wants us to go in that direction. But preacher, you're just bullheaded. You're stubborn. Well, don't call me bullheaded and stubborn. I'm just trying to serve the Lord and do what's right. You know, your preacher and one of you could get into it. You could have a collision. And if you're not careful, it could sink your ship. I've met I don't know how many people as I've knocked on doors over the many, many years I have, inviting folks to Christ, inviting folks to church. And I don't know how many people who now will not darken the door of any church because they had a collision with someone in the church and said, if that's where it's going to be, I'm not going to go back to church again. Now, folks, you got a problem. This church is absolutely filled with human beings. And we don't always see eye to eye. And sometimes we're going to collide. But we have to say, okay, this may happen, but I will not allow it to sink my ship. And I don't want to sink anyone else's spiritual ship either. So God, please give me the grace. When I do have a collision once in a while with fellow believers, give me the grace to be kind and considerate and forgiving. And I pray they'll go on, and God give me the strength to go on too, because I don't want any collision with any other fellow believer to hurt me or the fellow believer. But many a collision has sank many a spiritual ship. Then there's a fourth reason I notice a lot of ships have been sunk over the years, and that's because of storms. Again, I think back to May 1980. In fact, it was May the 9th, 1980. There was a ship that came from Japan. It had a load of steel. It dropped it off in Texas. It went through the Panama Canal, dropped its steel in Texas, came across the Gulf of Mexico empty to pick up a load fertilizer, phosphate, to take it back to Japan. As it was entering near Tampa Bay into the channel that takes you underneath the Skyway Bridge, as it was getting closer there, all of a sudden, it happened at 7 o'clock in the morning. Sun has just barely got up. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a storm hits. And it was like a winds up to 75 miles an hour, which could be classified as a class one hurricane. Winds of 75 miles an hour, lightning, driving rain. Just out of nowhere, that storm came up. Well, the harbor pilot that was piling the ship into the channel underneath the Skyway Bridge made several mistakes. And the storm frustrated him, and he made poor choices, bad decisions. Long story short, finally, the Summit Venture slammed into the Skyway Bridge. And a 1,000-foot section of that bridge came tumbling down. Part of the section of that bridge fell across the bow of the Summit Venture. And then cars began to plummet off the bridge, along with a Greyhound bus. When they finally got all the bodies out of Tampa Bay, 34 people lost their lives. And the bottom line, the real cause was that storm. Bad decisions made in the storm. But the storm caused the problem. And here's the point, folks. Life is filled with storms. Things happen in our life. Without any kind of warning, whap, a financial problem. You didn't see it coming. You had no idea, but bang, there it is. A health problem. I mean, you might be feeling good and doing great, and all of a sudden you wake up one morning with excruciating pain in your side, and you go to the doctor, they run tests, and finally announce to you that you've got cancer. You start to go to bed one evening, all of a sudden you feel your arm kind of begin to ache and getting a little numb. All of a sudden, you feel a pain in your chest. They rush you to the hospital, and you just had a heart attack. And your heart suffered great damage. You'll never be the same. You're rearing your children. I mean, everything seems to be going great. They're obedient. They're in church. All of a sudden, this 12-year-old turns 13. Then he turns 15. And he's not the same kid you knew when he was 12. He doesn't act the way he used to act. He used to be polite and considerate, but not now. He's selfish, hard-headed, argumentative. He's caused a great storm to come to your family. You and your mate don't know what to do with a child. He fights with his siblings. He gets in fights at school all the time. I mean, just out of nowhere, this seems to have happened. It just, horrible things can happen to us, folks. And here's the point. If we're not careful, we'll allow these storms of life to cause us to shipwreck. And if we're not careful, we'll allow a storm to sink our spiritual ship. I've seen it happen to more than one Christian where they're hit by a severe storm, and a lot of times what will happen, they'll end up blaming God. And question God. God, why? Why do I have the cancer? God, why is my child sick? God, why is my child so rebellious? God, why is my child on dope? God, why? Folks, there's going to be storms. It rains on the just and on the unjust. We all go through storms. But we have to remember this, to anchor our souls in the haven of rest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay close to Him. There's no time to run from Him or accuse God. But now is the time to run to Him in the midst of the storm. Don't allow the storms of life to sink your spiritual ships. Because, hey, life is filled with storms. And we got to learn that. Here's the last thought in closing. and looking and examining all these books, and the five great reasons of shipwrecks, the last thing I noticed about it is battles. I mean, there have been a lot of ships that have been sank in the heat of a battle, has it not? I imagine thousands of great ships now lie at the bottom of some ocean that were sank by another ship in a battle. The great German battleship, the Bismarck. There was no other ship quite like it. Great warship. May the 27th, as they were engaged, the British ship, British fleet, finally this great, powerful, gigantic ship, great battleship Bismarck. No one thought they could ever defeat it. But finally, in the heat of the battle, I'm given to understand an old World War I vintage airplane. I think it was a biplane. Flew over the Bismarck and dropped one bomb in the right place. And it was sunk. And here's the spiritual application to that. Now, storms are natural. Battles are supernatural. See, preacher, what are you talking about? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Folks, Satan loves to attack us. Satan would love to sink every one of our spiritual ships. And Satan would just love to come into our lives and while we might be serving and on course and fighting the good fight. And Satan would try to come in and use somebody through a satanic influence to attack you, to try to stop you and sink your spiritual ship. Folks, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 6, to put on the what? Whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in a spiritual battle. And if we're not careful, if we don't put on the whole armor of God, and I'm not going to the whole armor of God, please, I'm sure you're familiar with the passage, but all the armaments and all the things that's mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 6 is equipping us for spiritual warfare. And the point of the matter is this, we have to do what the Bible tells us to do in reference to the spiritual warfare, or our spiritual ships will be sunk if we're not properly attired for the spiritual warfare. And we cannot turn a deaf ear to the directions that God is giving us in this thing in fighting a spiritual warfare. Paul, in what we just read, let's look at it again. We read at the very beginning. It says, I charge thee, this I commit unto thee, O Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Every one of us are engaged in a warfare. And if we do not have the proper armament that God prescribes for us in Ephesians chapter 6, will be absolutely no problem for the devil to sink our ship. Down we'll go. So, these are five basic reasons why most spiritual ships are sunk as most physical ships are sunk. Running aground, getting off course. Carelessness, just plain careless living. Collisions, which oftentimes will happen, even amongst other good people in the church, as Paul and Barnabas would testify. Storms, which are natural, that will occur because that's how it happens to life. The just, it rains on the just and the unjust. It's just a natural thing that happens in living the human life. And then battles. where Satan would try to do his best to intimidate and then destroy us. So we need to understand that ultimately, as we're serving the Lord as His people, that we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. And Satan wants to destroy us, to destroy our testimony, destroy our witness, and to sink our ships. He uses a variety of means. And the message tonight is simply that of a warning for the young and the old. To war a good warfare, to fight a good fight, to keep the faith and keep the ships afloat for the glory of God. Let's all stand for prayer.